This is the Don and Mike Show.
How much for the little girl?
Yeah.
The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
Maitre d'. Maitre d'.
You. How much for your wife?
Don and Mike Show.
106 miles to Chicago. I've got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Your destination for disappointment. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Listen.
Judy Belushi's on the phone. That's how I went. No. She doesn't care about this. The Coca-Cola company is dropping Vanilla Coke and Diet Vanilla Coke.
Well, that's nice.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'll discuss that at length later.
I know you're going to have to set aside some time.
It's a mistake.
If it's any consolation to you whatsoever, earlier in the year, they no longer make Diet Cool Nest Tea.
You have not been a fan of a product like I have.
I am not trying. I am not in now, any way trying to
nobody,
come close to
nobody call,
your loss on this
nobody
one.
Nobody call and tell me that Diet Vanilla Pepsi is going to do any better, or Dr. Pepper Diet Cherry Vanilla, or Vanilla, whatever it is. It's not going to work. Listen, here's Judy Belushi.
She doesn't want to hear about
it. I like the Cherry Coke.
You like the Cherry Coke or the Diet Cherry Coke?
No, just no diets for me.
See, here's my evolution on this. I started as a fan. And I remember the timeline on this. 1990.
Yes.
Cherry Coke.
There you go.
Loved it. Then discovered.
And today, you still love it.
Diet Cherry Coke was my go-to. Then they came out with Vanilla Coke, and it's too sugary. Then they come out with Diet Vanilla Coke.
Perfect.
Now that's my go-to, and now they're pulling it off the market.
Oh, no.
Ah, screw them.
What can you count on these days?
Screw them.
I know. You really can't count on anybody, can you, Judy?
Now, no Coke. Pepsi.
Now, do you mind? I know you're remarried. Do you mind that we refer to you as Judy Belushi?
You just go with whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay.
I'm okay. I'm, you know, states away, so.
So we can be fine. That's good. And her
Judy has got a book. You can get it at Amazon.com. We'll have a link on our website. We got a copy of it this week. I don't want to say it's just a coffee table book with pictures of John Belushi, although it has a lot of pictures that I had never seen before, and I'm a pretty big fan of John Belushi's. It also has
a photo album, you know.
Yeah, it also has a lot of very, if you can take a compliment, and a very, very wonderful writings from you about John. And I find the whole topic of John Belushi fascinating. That I read your book, the Samurai Widow. Then I read Wired, which I did not care for.
Right.
And I knew that somewhere between the two, not that what you wrote wasn't true, and what they wrote,
but it was a certain perspective about loss and
right.
And,
right. And it's very nice. All these years later, now this book I really think is the best. 20 or however many years it is past John's passing.
God, is it that long?
It really is. Judy, you should be very proud of the book. That it's a wonderful representation of John and his career and what he was really like.
Well, I feel Tanner, Michael Redd, and I hit it, and I worked with Tanner, who is only 30, a young man.
Mm.
Wasn't, you know, around when all this was happening, so it helped me have a perspective so that because this is sort of the Citizen Kane approach. You know, we went, it's a lot of interviews with colleagues and friends and family and sometimes adversaries, and put them together in a way that, you're right, it looks at first glance like a coffee book. You can spot read it, but if you read it, it's a biography.
No, it is, and that's what I really loved about it when they first brought it to me. Oh, look at all these pictures. I've not seen these.
Right.
Then I read it, but even the pictures, some of the pictures, like at the funeral. Now, I had seen photographs of John Belushi's funeral, but there are some shots that I had not seen before.
Well, when you get all together like that, that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you can really see the look on Bill Murray's face.
Right.
And I mean, and that's a look that I had not seen.
The kind of stun of the few people we put in, other people, everyone just.
Judy, how many of the old gang do you keep in touch with? Are you in touch with Dan and I? Right.
With Blues Brothers.
Okay.
And he's been a, you know, gentleman about that, because I cannot put on the suit and go on stage with him. And yet he's, you know, maintained.
I guess Jim Belushi is picking up the slack on the Blues Brothers.
I'm the, you know, Now, and I get the money.
Yay, I get the money.
Now, Judy, really, I know you've moved on and you have a life of your own, yet you're still connected with John Belushi.
Yes, that's it for forever now.
when you sit down, and no offense, I shouldn't say that.
Before I say that. I'm curious.
When you sit down at your TV, maybe on a Wednesday or whatever night it's on, and According to Jim is on, do you ever stop and think,
how much better John would be in the role?
Well, first,
John never wanted television, and I don't believe he ever would have
John never would have done that. Do you ever watch that and just think that John's watching somewhere, and he's just going, no.
I told him never do television.
Right.
Damn it, you never listen, Jim.
Okay, enough of that.
I guess that's got to be pretty tough for Jim, though, to live in that shadow. I mean, he's very successful with his own TV show, but he's got to always have the legacy of John Belushi hanging over his head.
It is tough, and I wasn't sure how much he wanted to be involved with this book, and he was really sat down and thought about it, came up with some really great stories, things that I think, he feels, he's 7 years younger than John. In many ways, he feels he lost his brother. Never really, they were just getting to the age where they could, becoming equals, and but yet he told some stories that are moments that many people never have, where John came and gave them this advice, or they had their East of Eden fist fight, and it's some great stuff.
You know, I will ask you a question. It's kind of a trite question, but it is something I want to know personally, so I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
And I would like to know, really, what is something that that fans of John Belushi that know him only from, the television shows and seeing Saturday Night Live, what would you think would be the biggest misconception about John Belushi, either as the person or his life or anything like that?
Well, I think people are, one, surprised he had a wife.
Yeah.
He had a will. So,
but he had his act together that way, right?
That he actually, wore underwear. lots of things like that. I think, just the human side. They don't, and also, I don't think people realize what a force he was in terms of being a leader in the comedy scene during the late 70s and early 80s, what a self-starter he was, how together he was in terms of his career and how much he worked at it.
The other thing that I found very touching in this book was when you write for a period of time about when you guys knew each other in high school.
Yeah.
And that was in your book, in your original book.
Yeah, probably more.
Yeah, more of it. But it really is it's a very sweet part of the book. And I hope that I don't sound like a total queer here saying this, but it really shows the very sweet side of John Belushi and why you fell in love with John Belushi. I appreciated that. One other question about
translated. It wasn't easy because you can't do too much time on it.
And if I could just ask, the circumstance is different, but let me just tell you where I'm coming from. My wife passed away 4 months ago. She was in a car accident. We've been married 25 years.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would be like at this point in my life to pick up and start over with someone else.
So too soon for you.
So you're way past that.
But it took me a lot of time really looking at it and thinking about it. And as you read Samurai Widow,
But here's what I wanted to ask you about your current husband. And I don't know anything about him. I know that you've been married to him for decades.
15 years now.
Yeah,
wow.
For over a decade, long time.
Yeah.
Is he cool? Is your husband, your husband now, how is he with the fact that you're John Belushi's wife?
He once introduced himself as, I'm John Belushi's widow's husband.
Well, that means he's got it in perspective a little bit, doesn't he?
But, he's a talented and secure guy in his own right, so he... And I think I probably had to find someone like that who would feel, as the other thing he says is, you think in heaven I'm going to let John Belushi kiss you on the lips?
Well, thank you for answering that. I didn't mean to put you in a weird position, but I've got to think
it's curious. I mean, and certainly there are times he goes, okay, enough.
Is there anybody that's floating around right now that would approach his style of comedy that you would see that you say, hey, there's a little bit of John Belushi in that guy, or do you see it in a lot of people?
Jack Black.
I haven't
seen all of his work by any means, but when I see him, he was just in Will and Grace the other night. Yeah, yesterday, I think, or 2 days.
You just said that, and I just tracked with it. I mean, there is that same kind of quality.
He's irreverent and can bring out that explosiveness.
Are you surprised, Judy, that so many people still feel so close to John Belushi? That, I mean, it's more than like the Elvis thing, or, and for our generation, even more than like a JFK thing. It's like, I remember exactly where I was. It was like, you are freaking kidding me.
Yeah. Well, I guess how I felt about him, I guess, I'm sort of not surprised, but that doesn't always translate, so right. It might be naive on my part.
Well, I think when we were all going, and Don and I are in our mid-40s, so we were, you know, we were in high school and growing up as teenagers when this show was on, and I remember we tell the story all the time, and for people, especially people that did not grow up in that era, that your Saturday night was completely predicated on making time for that particular show with that original cast, right, in the mid-1970s, and it was truly a phenomenon. And you know what? Back then, you didn't appreciate it because you think, oh, well, this will happen every once in a while, and then you realize it doesn't. I mean, it can be decades.
It was the Dick Van Dyke Show and Bob Newhart, good shows, but right. It's a real different style of comedy.
Yeah, and really, I mean, so that captured that particular generation.
And Laugh-In was sort of the closest thing before it, and right. by the time it was either gone or stale by the time this came out, I don't remember.
Right. If you don't mind me asking, from the people from those days, from the old Saturday Night Live days, who are the people that have remained most in contact with you,
besides your business partners?
Yeah, besides Dan.
Any of them at
Dan
all?
Dan Deeds, who was one of the writers. I'm okay. One of my best friends. And Harold Ramis, who's actually Second City, and then he wrote
right.
Animal House and other things.
He's in Ghostbusters, yeah. Right.
Supposed to be in. And he comes out to, I live on Martha's Vineyard, and he summers here, and I've been in Chicago quite a bit, so I've stayed at their house and whatever, and you know, those are the closest I'd say from that group. But pretty much, you know, a lot of people, I ran into Billy Murray just bought a house out here this year, and I, you know, I ran into him at the grocery store. He was actually shopping. I was shocked. So, you know, and it's always instant, you know, back to where you were with most of the people.
And one thing about the movies that John made, Neighbors. Yeah, that's one that's on, and you hear all the time that everybody was, you know, high during that movie.
Well, I've heard amazing things about that, that they changed roles.
Yeah, John was supposed to play one,
and
Dan was supposed to play the other. I still like Neighbors.
I think it is.
I do, too. There's problems with it. You can see how it could have been better, and actually, something I learned from the book, David Brown said that they did two shots with a lot of the scenes, one the way John wanted to and one the way Avildsen, the director, wanted to. But, of course, they had to let Avildsen edit it because he was a director.
Is there any truth to the rumor that in that movie, Neighbors, that they flipped the parts?
Yeah. They originally wanted him to play it the other way, and the guys decided they really thought, and I thought it was funny that way myself. I think Danny just cracks me up whenever I see him doing that role.
Yeah.
And I know they could have each done a nice job the other way, too, but I don't think John could have been as creepy as Danny was.
Yeah. No. He was creepy.
I mean, John would have been more funny and cuddly.
Right, yeah.
So I think it worked. We kind of document that pretty well, I think. It was just, there were a lot of bad things about it, and then there became a week that went really bad. But mostly it was just creative problems, really.
Well, I think you're incredibly strong. I thought that when I saw you after John died, and when I read the book, and read your first book, and I love this book. And just, it's an honor to have you on the show. And you're a very, very strong woman. Can I ask you one last question about John?
That's all you want. That's why I'm here.
Of all of John's films, which do you think he was proudest of? And which are you proudest of?
I'd guess it would be Blues Brothers, because that is something he created from the get-go.
That came out of the Saturday Night Live sketch.
Right, because he and Danny created those characters, and then it became a movie and all that, and the music and the enormity of the film. He was very proud of Animal House, and perhaps even the most excited about it when it came out.
And what about you? Which one are you?
Well, I like the triad here. Those two and Continental Divide, kind of, I feel, you pull all those three, that he took the most of himself into each of those characters. sort of three.
Well, I'll leave you with this compliment about John, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of him, but I do hope that someday down the road that people get a chance to have what we had growing up, to have somebody like John Belushi.
Yeah.
That brought so much to so many people. And, you know, you've got that forever. You know that already.
Great. Thank you so much.
Listen, thank you for being on the show, Judy.
Bless you.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
There she is. Judy Belushi.
That's great. It comes back to me watching those Saturday Night Live episodes, which really, I never got over, the loss of John Belushi on Saturday Night Live. And I think that's one of the reasons that it's tough enough to follow somebody like that. But then when they never reach that same kind of edginess where they take the chance.
People who missed the original Saturday Night Live missed a lot.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything like that.
And it's still worth it.
Are you saying that you don't think that Tim Meadows is just just the bee's knees?
Not to take away from Tim.
Ladies, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. You know what? He might have been one that was too good. Tim Meadows might have been. Mike, are you saying that Tim Kazurinsky?
Why don't you just go right to
Brad Hall?
Go right to Piscopo. That's all you
Ouch.
Need to do.
Winner!
Joe Piscopo.
Anyway, that's Judy Belushi and her book, Belushi. I recommend it. It's good. You know why I like it? Lots of pictures.
Yeah, that's good. I like pictures.
Very little reading, lots of pictures.
I hate that pesky text.
Amazon.com is where you get it, or you can click onto our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Now, here we go. Hold on just a second. Willie Nelson. Where's my Willie Nelson song?
If you have not have fallen, I would not have loved you, Angel Fine.
Congratulations. You have won a pair of front row VIP tickets to see Willie Nelson live in concert.
Thank you.
Patriot Center, November 9th.
You just gave them to me?
As part of your VIP ticket package, you get a private meet and greet with Willie Nelson and dinner for two.
I'd love to meet Willie.
At the Texas Roadhouse.
Let's go. Let you and me win.
Come on. So let's give away this Willie Nelson prize pack, including the chance to meet Willie Nelson.
Well.
How will we give it away?
How?
Well.
Where in the world is Joe Arden?
Oh, wow.
Can you make Joe laugh on this good-looking Friday?
Fantastic.
It's not me. It's not Mike. It's not Rob. Not Buzz. Not B.A. Sweet, doughy-headed Joe.
Have you heard him enough on the show? Do you know what his sense of humor is like? Do you
Joe.
Think he can penetrate that big lump of Play-Doh that's his brain?
Or do you have a joke you just have to tell?
Do you think you can make a retarded guy laugh? 877-365-3636 is the toll-free number. We will put 10 minutes on the clock. Hopefully it won't take 10 minutes, but we'll have 10 minutes on the clock. Here's the rule. You call up. We take unscreened calls. If you make Joe laugh, you win the front row tickets and the meet and greet with Willie Nelson live in concert at the Patriot Center on November 9th.
And as is the case in any contest with Joe, speak slowly, speak clearly, and avoid clever puns.
Call now, call early, call off.
And big words.
Please.
Keep the vocabulary down to a minimum.
Let me just see if Michelle is here. It's her account.
Oh, I see.
The Willie Nelson thing is her account. And Beth Ann told me that she was not pleased today that we had not done the contest yet this week.
Wow.
Michelle is also the opening act.
Fantastic. Is she going to be wearing that cowgirl skirt?
It's a cabaret act.
Michelle Manti with WJFK and Redskins Radio. I'm away from my desk. Please leave a message and I will call you back. Thank you.
Hi, Beth Ann. This is Michelle. I can't believe that Don and Mike haven't given away the Willie Nelson ticket yet. They're listening for the plug every day. You know, I could have given that to any other show on the station, but I gave it to the Don and Mike show because I really like the Don and Mike show. And how come they haven't given away the Willie Nelson ticket? We're doing it.
On the road again.
We're doing it.
Like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway.
There.
Oh,
take that. I don't think that picked up on the
punctuation. Some kind of feedback in the studio, but boy, I was hot.
Yeah.
How are you?
Thanks.
How are
for
you?
That.
You're welcome. Anyway, Michelle, good news. We're giving away your Willie Nelson tickets.
Right now. And it's all to make Joe laugh.
Call the client and tell them everything is cool.
Thank you.
And tell them it smells like a skunk in the studio
again. Ew!
Oh. God.
Oh, come on. Dynamite to break. Dynamite to break, please. Please?
Keep saying it.
You know what I've had to eat today? Seriously?
You just blew a hat trick.
A chicken breast. I had a grilled chicken breast.
No, you tell the truth. You ripped it out of a live chicken. Just not allowed,
what that smells like.
Kiss the beak.
Not allowed to eat it.
Kiss the beak.
Lick the beak. Lick the beak.
Lick my beak.
Put the beak in.
Make Joe laugh. Yeah. I just made everybody laugh by farting. Now, I don't think you can do that.
No.
I really don't think you can.
No, that can't be done. Please don't try that at home.
Can't do that.
Please, no farting.
Please. And please. Remember,
speak slow. No farting. Right, Joe? Make Joe laugh. We'll be right back. Thank you, Judy Belushi.
This is the Don and Mike Show.